Are there people in life that you avoid? Are there people in life that you don't want to be around? Last week on the Let the Bible Speak program, I talked about a group of people in the New Testament known as the Samaritans, whom the Jews did not like and they did not want to be around them. They considered them outcasts and rejects. They were considered a half-breed of Jews, and so the Jews did not want to have any dealings with Samaritans. And on the program last week, we talked about how that the Samaritans in the New Testament are upheld as good individuals, individuals that we need to be like, the very ones that the Jews tried to avoid. The New Testament writers point out they're the very ones that are exemplary in their character. And we want to finish that study this morning, and I'm glad that you've joined us on the Let the Bible Speak program. Last week, we looked at a Samaritan, a woman, the Samaritan woman at the well, and she was a truth seeker. And we need to be like that today in a postmodern world which denies truth. We need to be truth seekers. And then at the end of John chapter 4, we noticed a group of Samaritans that lived in her community, and they were convinced Samaritans. And in an unbelieving world, we need to be convinced of the truth based upon investigation and examination and the evidence of God's Word. And this morning, we want to continue that thought with three other examples in the New Testament of Samaritans, the ones who were considered outcasts and rejects. These are individuals that are engaged in behavior and attitudes that are exemplary and that we need to have in our lives today. If you'll turn with me to Luke chapter 10, I want to look at another example, and probably out of all of the Samaritans, this is the one in the New Testament that is known the most, the one that is most talked about, and that is the Good Samaritan. We have the Good Samaritan Hospital. We have the Good Samaritan Outreach Group that helps people with different problems in their lives. Good Samaritan is a phrase. We have Good Samaritan laws. The Good Samaritan is well known because Jesus talks about him in Luke chapter 10 in response to a certain lawyer in verse 25, Luke 10:25, who stood up and made trial of him. Just stop right there. This man did not want to know the truth. He wanted to argue. He wanted to debate, but he didn't want to go out and live properly. And we're going to see how Jesus focuses in on that at the end of the lesson. And so this lawyer says to Jesus, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Now, that's a great question, and we appreciate him asking that. But again, he really didn't want to know the answer and then go out and obey that. And Jesus said unto him, "What is written in the law?" A lawyer would have been one to both write and study and teach the law. "What does the law say?" "The law of Moses." "How do you read?" And he answered, the lawyer answered and said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself." So Deuteronomy 6:5 and Leviticus 19:18. So this man knew the law. He answered correctly. Jesus said unto him, verse 28, "Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Jesus is going to come back to that idea of doing at the end of this conversation, which lets us know that Jesus is hitting on the heart of the matter with this man. He didn't have an information problem. He had a motivation problem. He didn't have an intellectual problem. He had a doing problem, an application problem. So he could answer correctly, but he didn't put that into practice in his life. And that's a lesson for us, friends. It's not just a matter of can we rehearse the right slogan or the right phrase? Or can we quote the right verse? Do we have it memorized? Can we rattle it off? But are we actually practicing it in our life today? So to hit home this idea of actually going out and loving your neighbor and showing that in a real way and not just talking about it, Jesus is going to tell us about the well-known Good Samaritan. In verse 29, the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, "Who is my neighbor?" Probably trying to justify his inaction, trying to justify why he hadn't gone out and showed this love to too many people or only a select group of people. He has almost like this wisecrack, sarcastic remark, "Well, who is my neighbor?" Again, trying to argue it, debate it, keep it in the realm of a verbal back and forth. So many people want to do that today and not get down to what we call brass tacks, not get down to the where the rubber meets the road, so to speak, and actually get out and do it. Some people like to stay in the realm of the discussion. Well, Jesus said in verse 30, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among robbers, who both stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance a certain priest was going down that way, a Jewish priest. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And in like manner a Levite also, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. So these Jewish individuals, instead of stopping and helping and showing love toward a neighbor who had been beaten and robbed, they're going to walk around the man. And I always like to talk about the other side. That makes a great lesson just in itself, the other side. The other side is the side of excuse making. The other side is the side of blame and the side of reason and rationale, but no doing. The side of thinking but not doing, the other side. It's the side that allows us to keep from actually getting our hands dirty and rolling up our sleeves and doing what we need to do, the other side. So they walked by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. That's what it means to love God and to love your neighbor as yourself. Be moved with compassion and do something. This man did not leave it in the realm of just quoting a verse, but in the realm of the practicality of doing it. He came to him, bound up his wounds, pouring oil on them and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow he took out 2 shillings and gave them to the host and said, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I, when I come back again, will repay thee. Which of these 3 think thou proved neighbor unto him that fell among the robbers?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." And Jesus said unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." I wonder if that lawyer had a hard time answering that question, because it meant that he had to answer that a Samaritan, whom the Jews did not like, a Samaritan did a good deed. And so that's why we talk about people being good Samaritans. They help others in time of need. And this man, he had compassion. Number 2, it wasn't simply in the realm of what he was thinking. Sometimes people can have compassion on somebody, but they don't get up and do anything. It just stays in the realm of the mental or the emotional. But he came, look at these verbs, he came and bound up his wounds and pouring and set him on his beast and brought him back and took care of him. Verbs of action. And even beyond that, the next day, paid the host of the inn to take care of him more. And when he came back, he had a journey he had to take. He had other responsibilities he had to take care of. When he came back, he would be willing to settle up that bill. How about us? Are we willing to do the same? And so the Good Samaritan, and Jesus said unto him in verse 37 to this lawyer who wanted to simply debate and discuss, he said, go and do thou likewise. Just like he had said back in verse 28, this do and thou shalt live. Jesus knew that this man needed to get out of the realm of just discussing it to doing it. And so we have the Good Samaritan. So our third example is a Samaritan who was selfless and compassionate and caring toward the needy when others were not. When others who were religious, by the way, a priest and a Levite who claimed to be very religious and God-loving and God-fearing and so forth and Law of Moses reading, they just walked by on the other side. Where's their compassion? Where's their care? No, they're cold and callous. So in a selfish world, we can be like this Good Samaritan. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 and following, when Paul is talking about the grievous times or the terrible times that will come, one thing he says is, lovers of self. And that's the society that we live in. Look out for number one, take care of yourself. Don't take time for anybody else. Are you neighborly? Am I neighborly like this Good Samaritan? Galatians 6:10, do good unto all men, especially those of the household of the faith. We need to put on a heart of compassion. Colossians 3 and verse 12. We need to be individuals who will think about others and their state and the problems that they're going through. And in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 10, in verse 34, New Testament Christians who were persecuted, the author says, you both had compassion on them that were in bonds or imprisonment and took joyfully the spoiling of your possessions, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Later in chapter 13 and verse 1, let love of the brethren continue. Forget not to show love unto strangers. This is hospitality. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them that are ill-treated, as being yourselves also in the body. Think of someone other than yourself, the writer says. And that's what this Good Samaritan did. We need to have these types of qualities in our life even today. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8, Peter writes, finally be all like-minded, compassionate, loving his brethren, tender-hearted, humble-minded, not rendering evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but contrarywise blessing. For hereunto you were called that you should inherit a blessing. And our lives are blessed when we give toward others. And so, friends, let's be like this Good Samaritan. Another Samaritan is found in the book of Luke. If you'll just turn over a few chapters to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On an occasion in which Jesus heals 10 lepers, let's see what happened. In Luke 17 and verse 11, and it came to pass as they were on the way to Jerusalem that he was passing along the borders of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go and show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back. And with a loud voice glorifying God, he fell upon his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Were not the 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there none found that returned to give glory to God save this stranger? And he said unto him, Arise, and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. So we find the thankful Samaritan. The one who came back, he returned to glorify God and thank Jesus when the others would not. They got their blessing and their gift, and they were thinking about themselves and didn't stop just to say thank you. A simple thank you, even today, is good for us. Not only does it encourage the person that we're thanking, but it's good for us. It keeps us humble and shows that we have gratitude and appreciation. We live in an ungrateful world. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. And somebody says, well, it's really not a big deal if somebody's not thankful. It actually is. The unthankful, the ungrateful attitude of an individual actually runs with some other bad attitudes that just simply causes problems all the way around. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 21, because that knowing God, they glorified him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and in their senseless heart was darkened. When we don't recognize God and thank him, then our reasoning becomes darkened. We begin to worship self, verses 22 and 23 and 24. We exchange the truth for a lie, verse 25, and then he mentions homosexuality in verses 26 and 27 and a bunch of other sins in verses 28 through 32. And it starts all the way back with, because that knowing God, they glorified him not and neither gave him thanks. That's the root of the problem. And so we find this thankful Samaritan. We need to be grateful. And we need to be thankful. We need to be always giving thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything, even negative or bad things, we can find something to be thankful for. In everything, give thanks. You know, the past few weeks, we've been in a drought. And it's easy to complain. And yards all over my neighborhood are turning brown. But I'm thinking, hey, at least I have a yard. I'm thankful for a yard because there's a house on that yard. And I'm thankful for that. Yeah, the yard might be brown, but at least I have a yard. Some people don't. I know poor people around the world who just have a little scrap of something to live with and live under. So even in bad times, there are things that we can find that we are thankful for. We need to be like that. In Colossians chapter 3, if you'll turn with me there, we need to be thankful. In verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Verse 17. We see something similar in Ephesians 5, verses 4 and verse 20. Let's be thankful. In an ungrateful world, let's be thankful. I like Psalm 103. It's a great psalm. If you have a chance to read it, it doesn't take that long to read. Psalm 103. Bless Jehovah, O my soul. All that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless Jehovah, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And then he starts listing what those benefits are. We don't need to forget the benefits of God. And then last of all this morning, I want to talk about the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. When the gospel was being spread all over the world, starting in Jerusalem and moving out from there into all the known world, we come to Samaria in Acts chapter 8, and Philip went there to preach the gospel. So read with me in Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. They therefore that were scattered abroad about preaching the word, and Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed unto them the Christ. And the multitudes gave heed with one accord unto the things that were spoken by Philip when they heard and saw the signs which he did. For from many of those that had unclean spirits, they came out crying with a loud voice, and many of them were palsied, and they that were lame were healed, and there was much joy in that city. And there was a certain man, Simon by name, who before in the city used sorcery and amazed the people of Samaria, giving out that he himself was some great one, to whom also they gave heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is that power of God which is called great. And they gave heed to him, because that of a long time he had amazed them with sorceries. But when they believed Philip, preaching good tidings concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon also himself believed, and being baptized, he continued with Philip, and beholding signs and great miracles wrought, he was amazed. The Samaritans heard Philip preaching, and they believed and obeyed the gospel. I want to close this morning by looking at these outcasts and rejects, so-called, individuals who were not liked by the Jews, but they are exemplary in character. This last group of Samaritans are obedient. They believed and obeyed the powerful gospel, even when they had been previously misled by this Simon the sorcerer. And in a world today, so many people are being misled by fakes and frauds and phonies. Will you be willing to believe and obey the truth of the New Testament gospel? When Philip preached the word of God, he also performed miracles, and they realized that he was genuine. Simon was a fake. He had learned through sorcery, through the occult and witchcraft and sorcery, through spells and potions and magic and incantations, he had learned to put on a good show. And had gotten a following from that. Notice the text says that many all gave heed to him. He was very successful. But Philip was more successful because Philip actually had the truth. And so they turn away. Notice how they were giving heed to Simon. Now they're giving heed to Philip. It's an interesting statement. So you can be following one person and you think, well, this is the person I need to follow. But then realize, no, there's somebody genuine, and I need to turn to him. And that's what they did. Friends, we live in a world that is misled by con artists, people who lie all the time. There's lying and con artists in politics. There's lying and con artists in religion. There's lying and con artists in education and in a host of other areas of our life. Young people are being lied to in institutions of higher education, and even we used to say institutions of higher education. Now they're being lied to in institutions of lower education, even in in the grade school, and there are kindergartners in some states that are being introduced to transgender and homosexuality. So it's no longer institutions of higher education. It's all the way down to kindergarten that they're being lied to. People are being lied to in religion and politics and in other things. And we've got to put on our thinking caps, and we've got to analyze and think and listen carefully and ask for evidence and ask for truth and ask for reasoning and argumentation. And we've got to turn away from what is false and turn toward what is true. And we don't need to let somebody, this Simon the sorcerer is described as a great one. He had made himself out to be some great one. Well, he was real popular in town. And that happens today. The popular person, you know, sways the crowd. But they're a fake and a phony and a fraud. We live in a disobedient world that's fooled by lies. And we need to get back to obeying, hearing and obeying the gospel. And friends, that's what I call upon you to do. Individuals heard the gospel, they believed it, and they were baptized into Christ. Notice what we find here in Acts chapter 8. The text says in verse 6, they heard Philip. The text says in verse 12, they believed Philip. The text says in verse 12, they were baptized, and Simon also was baptized. That's exactly what Jesus says in Mark 16, 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. The hearing and the believing and the baptism is also found in Acts chapter 18 and verse 8 in another city of Corinth. It's the pattern that we need to have today. Will you be that way? Well, friends, I hope a study of these Samaritans has probed our thinking and prodded our thinking to get up and do what is right. Be a truth-seeking Samaritan like the woman at the well. Be a convinced Samaritan like her citizens who lived with her, her neighbors in that locality of Sychar. Be convinced of the truth. Be a good neighborly Samaritan and help out those around you. And not just simply talk about loving your neighbor, but actually get out and showing it. Be the thankful Samaritan in the ungrateful world around us today. Have an attitude of gratitude and be the obedient Samaritan. The person who hears the gospel, believes it, and gets up and obeys it through baptism. And the text says there was great joy in that city. That's when you'll really be happy, is when you obey the gospel. Friends, if I can help you to be like these individuals, to change your life, let's get together and study God's Word. Come visit us at the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. Let's do what we need to do to be like these great individuals. Thank you for joining us and have a good day.